You know, you don't think that you use that many verses until I put all the verses that I'm going to use today on three pages. And so, now not three full front and back, but one front and back and then another almost full. If you would like a copy of that, if you there's Brother Dave Rush is in the back. He has copies. We've got 29 copies of that. Just raise your hand and then you can have all the verses for today on a sheet of paper and you can follow along. I'm not trying to get you to stay out of your Bible, okay? But this is just to help us along, all right? Thank you, Miss Jennifer. Well, what were you playing there? We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Now we're in East Tennessee. Do we say hallelujah or do we go hallelujah? Hallelujah. Do we say amen or amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I thought I heard amen. So let's do that chorus one more time. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. Amen. Amen. That's good, Brother Mark.
Again, am I loud? Loud, all right, there we go. Right, well, welcome. Thank you all for coming out to the Victory Bible Class today. How's everybody doing? Ooh, okay. There's coffee in the back if you need it. Sounds like, I don't know, we're not awake yet. So good to see you today. Thanks for coming out. Hope today's class will be a blessing to you. Do you guys want to do a nugget today?
Yes.
Do we want a nugget? All right. For today, we've got a choice to make, so you got to help me out, all right? We can do a nugget that'll be a blessing to you. It'll be uplifting. It'll be edifying. Or we can go with something that's going to be very, very controversial. So what do y'all want? I'm hearing blessing. Anybody wants to go with controversy? Oh, a few, huh? Brother Dan, I believe we have some Jerry Springer fans in here for you today. They've just identified themselves. All right. Okay, that's okay. All right, well, so we'll go with the blessing verse. Is that all good? All right, okay. In that case, we'll look at Genesis 22. But while you're doing that, I'll read some changes to the prayer list. So just listen as I read these off. And these will be on the next one that gets emailed out. And I guess we have some visitors here today too. And I'll read those off. All right, so the first one is Bob with AFib, shortness of breath, and dizziness, going to the cardiologist on March the 4th. Secondly, Phyllis is back at MD. Now this time I know that MD is not Maryland, right? All right. So that's MD Anderson in Houston, I believe. Is that right? It's in Houston. All right. Number three, Rachel Johnson with a heart blockage. This is Ruth Woods' niece. So Rachel's got a heart blockage. And I would assume she's going to have some kind of procedure done. I would hope. Okay. So we'll pray for Rachel. And the Richards family taking off of life support. All right. So there's a family that's going to need some encouragement. Some prayers, some Well, every one of us being there, we know what it's like. So put yourself in their place, pray accordingly when their name comes across your mind. Walter Johnson's father not doing well, so we'll pray for Walter's father. Nathan Susong's father fell, and I think he's in the hospital, but Nathan and Teresa cannot go see him because of a COVID situation. We all know what that's like, right? So they're not able to be with him. That's kind of tough. So he's there kind of by himself, all right? Let's pray for Nathan's father. And Joe and Joanne are feeling better and will be back soon, so we can take them off the prayer list. So that's good. Praise is always in order, right? A praise is always good. All right, looks like we have some visitors. So I will get into hieroglyphic mode and let's see how we're doing here. All right. We have Brian Dorian. Is that right? Where's Brian? Brian, nice to have you here, Brian. Thank you for coming. How about Angela Moore? Angela, thank you for being here today. And Patricia Tipton, yes, thank you for being here today. And that's it, all right. If I missed anyone, it's because your name's not up here on the desk. All right, birthdays and anniversaries, we have those today. Let's see, I got to think what is today, the 13th. Last week, or a couple weeks ago, we got Joe Green, Sandy Cox, I think it was last week. Right, okay. Happy birthday there. Yesterday, Connie Tarbox. Today, where is he at? Oh, he's trying to walk out, Mr. Dave Rush. Today. This week, Jerry Lovegrove, Johnny Saylor, Lynn Davenport, let's see, I think next week, Mark Carter, Renee Carter, Doug Deacons, and Lori Hubbard ends us up on the end of the month. All right, so happy birthdays there. All right, is that it? Is that it? All right. I know I read those prayer list changes right quick, but if you need to add something, feel free to put it on the list back there. We'll get to it, all right? Let's pray, and then we'll look at our nugget. So, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for the beautiful day that you gave us. Yes, it's a beautiful day because you made it and you gave it to us. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I rejoice that I'm able to be here today. I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the encouragement that it is to me personally just to see all these brothers and sisters out here. I pray for Brother Dan as he speaks to us in just a few minutes as we open up your word. May your word speak to us. Give us something that we need. I'm sure there's got to be somebody here that needs encouragement today. There's got to be somebody here that needs direction, needs guidance. There's somebody here, no doubt, that's hurting. Somebody's struggling with a problem. And I know there's a lot of things going on, and they seem overwhelming, but we know, we are confident from your word that they are not overwhelming to you. And I pray that you would speak through Brother Dan this morning, that he would be able to say the words from your word that would help meet our needs, draw us closer to you, strengthen us, and help us. And then we have a lot on our prayer list. We have several people with illnesses that I've read off. We have one family that's going through a death that needs comfort. And so, Lord, these and others that were already on the list that are dealing with physical ailments and sicknesses and diseases, give them comfort. Give them hope. Take away their fears. Give them peace. And as your will would be, give them healing. We pray for healing. We know that you can do it. And we know that we can. It's biblical to pray for it. And so all these that have been mentioned, we pray you just be with them especially. Thank you for our class today. And bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Genesis 22. So this is the story, very familiar story of Isaac and Abraham. I'll say Abraham and Isaac. And so just to start off with verse 2, the Lord is speaking to Abraham. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. So you know that story. That's a very familiar story. We learned it as little bitty kids. I can remember a flannel graph thing when I was 3 or 4 years old of this particular story. And One thing to notice at the end of that verse 2, he says, offering him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. This is just a little rabbit trail, but God didn't really guide him directly at that point, did he? You remember earlier in Abraham's life, God said, Abraham, I want you to move. And Abraham's like, where? Just move. Like, which direction? Just move. Where do you want me to go? Just move. And you remember Abraham kind of dilly-dallied around and he really didn't do it. Well, now God tells him, I want you to take your son. You're going to offer him as an offering. He's going to kill his son. That's what God told him to do. Stop and let that sink in for a moment. But then God says, I want you to do it upon a mountain. I'll tell you about it later. Well, which mountain? Just go. Just do it. This time, and you can read that in verse 3, Abraham just does it. He gets up and he's on his way. Okay? So Abraham's faith seems to be progressing. Does that make sense? Maybe a little bit of a progression of faith. Probably the same is true for us. Hopefully our faith is progressing. We trust God more when he speaks to us. So Abraham gets some servants. He and Isaac, they go. And Isaac is in the dark about this. He knows they're going to make a sacrifice, but he doesn't realize one key point of the sacrifice, does he? Yeah, he's in the dark. And probably the servants are too. And maybe Abraham is the only one that knows this. So now you guys help me out. What happens? They get to the base of the mountain. What happens? You can just shout it out. What happens next in the story? Now, you all know this story. Come on, shout it out. Tell me. What happens next in the story? They're all at the base of the mountain. What happens? Yeah, he tells the servants to stay there. Abraham and Isaac go up alone. So there's just two of them hoofing it up the mountain. So what happens as they're walking up the mountain? Yeah, we all got the wood, we got the fire, we got the knife, we got everything. Where's the sacrifice? And then Abraham utters this profound prophetic statement. What does he say? Do you remember what he said? Think about that for a moment. All right, now they get up there. And, you know, when God had spoken to Abraham earlier and said to do this, in verse 2 we read it, at that point in Abraham's mind, Isaac was reckoned as dead. Would you agree? He had the faith to do what God told him. He was going to carry it through. Isaac was dead at that point. Now, Isaac never did die. We know the end of the story, but he was reckoned as dead. So they get up there. They put the altar together. And then Abraham breaks the bad news. All right? Now what happens? What happens next in the story? Yep, Isaac lays on the altar. Abraham's getting ready. What happens? Oh, the angel stops him, gives him a big block there, stops him. And then what happens? A ram is caught in the thicket. He glances over, he gets the ram, and then he realizes God never intended for him to kill his son. So at that point, Isaac, who was reckoned dead, is now reckoned what? Alive. And so they offer the ram, as the sacrifice. So they actually complete the sacrifice as Isaac thought it was going to happen anyway. And it did happen the way Isaac thought. And then what happens? How's the story end? What do they do? They ride off into the sunset. Yeah. And if you look at verse 19, so we've gone through the story. It says, so Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba and so forth, and they rode off in the sunset. Something's weird about verse 19. What is it? Ooh, did y'all hear that? Where's Isaac? Read it again. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together. Where's Isaac? You ever been out to the mall or something when you had little kids and you left one? I'm looking for hands here. Nobody's going to volunteer that information, are you? What did you do? Leave him up around the mountain? What's going on here? I would presume Isaac came too. He just isn't mentioned. But would you presume he came home too with Abraham? I mean, I would presume that, right? Where is Isaac mentioned again? Well, 20 years goes by, and we never see Isaac's name again until chapter 24. You want to turn there? Next time we see Isaac's name. 20-year period has gone by. Verse 4. Chapter 24, verse 4. It says, Abraham's talking to his servant. Now, he was an old man to begin with. Now he's really old. He's beginning to got some age on him. In verse 4 it says, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. There's the first time Isaac is mentioned. There's a 20-year gap. So let's get the picture here. Way back in chapter 22, God comes to Abraham. He tells Abraham, you're going to sacrifice your son. At that point, in Abraham's mind, Isaac is reckoned as dead. They go up and do what God told him to do. And we went through that story. And now Isaac is reckoned as alive. What is the gap between when God told Abraham to do this and when they got up to the mountain and did the sacrifice? What kind of time frame? Well, look at verse 4. I won't even read it. What's the time frame? Verse 4, chapter 22. The third day. So Isaac is reckoned as dead. After how many days? Third day, he's reckoned as what? And then you don't see his name again until chapter 24, verse 4, when he meets his bride. Does that ring any bells about something that could possibly be happening in the New Testament? Ooh, that's pretty amazing, huh? You know the Bible is an amazing book. There's not one word out of place by accident. There's not one color. There's not one place. There's not one name. There's not one detail that's by accident. It's all carefully, very skillfully integrated to give us a message. And man, this was just a beautiful story to me. I really hope there was nothing controversial about this. I hope this was a blessing to you, because it sure was to me. So there's Abraham, Isaac, and the bride. How about that? Brother Dan?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much. I love when right before he goes up in verse 5, he said, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Sacrifice is worship. He said, I and the lad will go up yonder, and what will we do? We're coming again to you. We'll be back. And Christ says the same thing. That's wonderful. Thank you, Brother Mark. Appreciate that. And it's so good to see everyone this morning. So good to have those that are visiting this morning. I want you to know that you're welcome here. And you'll find that we're a family here, and you're welcome to be here. It's good to have you. Something to keep in mind coming up, March the 27th. March the 27th. We are going to have Surprise Sunday. And everywhere, all day long, there will be surprises. You're going to like them, okay? It also starts our Sunday school campaign for the next 4 weeks. And we are going to get into some Christian competition during that time. Miss Amy and I were at staff meeting, when was it, Thursday? Thursday, I believe. And they were dividing up the groups in church, and Victory Bible class is combined with the Spanish and also with Foundations and also with Home Builders, correct? And that's going to be one division. You're going to hear about this later. And we will have an opportunity to compete with other Sunday school classes. And there was a lot of smack being talked during staff meeting. I won't tell you who said it or what they said, but just know that we need all hands on deck come the 27th of March, okay? And I was a little leery about whether Miss Amy was on our side or not. She was talking some stuff, and it made me question her loyalty to the Victory Bible class, but I think we're back on track now, and we're okay. She just wanted it to be fair. But she was she was cheering for another team, and I didn't really see the loyalty in that. But anyway, don't beat up on her too much. I think we got her back on our team, though. So just keep that in mind, and you do not want to miss the 27th. You do not want to miss that day. Just trust me. I know of some things that are coming down and things that are happening, and it's going to be exciting. All righty, we are continuing our study on the Holy Spirit. About ready to get serious. And I love this study, and I love what it has taught me after having already studied this and then coming back through and studying it again. I'm reminded of so much, and it is very, very, very exciting. So we looked at how the doctrine or the study of the Holy Spirit is viewed, how it has been viewed in the past, and that brings us to today. We saw last week the importance of the Holy Spirit, how that the Holy Spirit is God, and how that He is emphasized in Scripture, and He has a major role in this age. So we saw that. And then we talked about how that the Holy Spirit is the source of every believer's power for witnessing and preaching and for unity. He's also our source for service and for sanctification and for Christ likeness. We want to be more like Christ every day, and that is made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw that the Holy Spirit is the source of the Christian's assurance of salvation. We have that confidence that we're saved. How do we have that confidence? Because we're just pride-filled people? No. Because we deserve it? No. We have it because the Holy Spirit gives us that assurance and that confidence. The Holy Spirit is the source of every believer's victory. And the Holy Spirit is the source of the Christian's wisdom. And then we ended last week speaking of how that the study of the Holy Spirit must be done in a devotional type way. It's not just a classroom of facts that you look at, but it is the actual study of God Himself and the sublime intimacy of a relationship to the Spirit who guides, comforts, assures, gives life to, and transforms our hearts, all from within our heart, where He has made His permanent and eternal abode. And so that's very, very important. And also we need to study this dependently. This is a unique study, as only the one whom we endeavor to understand can open our eyes to understanding what is taught. And we must enter this study of the Holy Spirit with humility and with prayer. Let me share with the class. Last week, and you may have noticed this, but last week as I started this study on the Holy Spirit, I was fought spiritually. And it was all I could do to put thoughts into words last week. And you may not have noticed what was going on, but I was wore out at the end of Sunday school last week. And it was a spiritual battle that was being fought because of what we were beginning. And that's the facts, Jack. That's part of what we do. And sometimes, as a believer, when you want to do right and you want to proceed in growth, in spiritual growth, you will be fought spiritually. That's just a guarantee. Why? The devil, Satan, and I don't mind saying his name, he is anti-God, period. Anything God is for, he is against. And he does not want you to know more and to learn more about the power that is within you that God gives you. He does not want you living up here. He wants you wallowing in your self-pity and in guilt And he wants you living to where you are non-effective for the body of Christ. That's where he needs you. He knows that he no longer has your soul. If you're a believer, then you will never lose your salvation. Satan knows that more than anyone. And so what his next step is to make you an ineffective Christian, an ineffective believer. He doesn't want you having victory that is yours through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to make correct decisions through wisdom that is provided by the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit and His guidance. He doesn't want you availing yourself of that. So He is going to do everything that He can to work against that. We recognize that. We realize that. We're not surprised. You know, every time you come to church on a Sunday morning, that fight that starts over nothing in the car on the way here, we know who that is. Over something, you know, you sit, you look back and you go, why did we even argue about that? That is such a non-issue. And it is because you're getting ready to go do something that's correct and right and good and something needful. So now we get into the nature of the Holy Spirit real quick. If you have your sheets, you'll be using those verses. The Holy Spirit is a personal being, not an impersonal force. He is a personal being, not an impersonal force. This has been attacked consistently and misunderstood, with some claiming that he is merely God's energy. But the Spirit of God is a person, just as the Father and the Son are a person. He is the third person of the triune God, the Holy Divinity. He makes up part of that. He has three essential qualities of personality. The Holy Spirit has a mind. Romans 8:27 says this, "And he, that is Christ, that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit," capital S, "because he," who, the Spirit, "maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Okay, so he has a mind. This passage specifically states that the Holy Spirit has mind. It also declares the fantastic truth that the believer enjoys the intercessory ministry of both God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. They go to bat for you. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. The Holy Spirit also has a will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 says this, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So he has a will, he chooses. He can choose. Here we see the Spirit is specifically declared to have a will, and the Spirit chooses with His will which spiritual gift each believer will receive. It's a wonderful thing. It keeps me from making the choice and possibly messing it up. Because I do that on occasion. Not often, but just on occasion. Amen? The Holy Spirit restricts. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Wait a minute. The Holy Spirit forbade them to preach? Yes. It wasn't the right time. "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not," or would not allow them to do that. So the Holy Spirit can restrict. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does is He directs. Chapter 16 of Acts, where we just read, verse 10 said, And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So they felt the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit to go there. He also directs. The Holy Spirit has emotion also. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. The Holy Spirit loves us. It talks about in Romans 15, the love of the Spirit. He loves us. The Holy Spirit is also grieved there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not. So if he's asking us to grieve not, that then we can come to a very accurate conclusion that there's a possibility of us grieving the Holy Spirit of God. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That very same Holy Spirit seals us unto the day that we will be redeemed. Amen? So this is all part of the nature of who we're studying about. The Holy Spirit works or demonstrates personality in that, number one, He teaches. John 14, 26 says, albeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. So He teaches us. Verse 16 and verse 13 is what I read there. And he guides the believers to embrace the truth. Now, He teaches and brings truth to our remembrance in John 14. Let me read that one. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name. Who's speaking right there? If you have the Bible with the words of Christ in red, you'll find that Christ is speaking there. Whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen? So He teaches and He guides us, and then also He reveals truth unto us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. He says this, but God hath revealed them unto us, how? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's why you and I do not have to fear some of these deeper things of the Word of God. You don't have to be afraid of them. For many years, there was some stuff that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole because I thought I do not have what it takes to delve into that. And to a certain extent, sometimes we're led to believe that. That is not, in fact, the case. You and I have the same Holy... If you and I have the Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, you're a believer, you're part of the family of God, you have the same Holy Spirit that I have. And that Holy Spirit searcheth out the difficult things. And you can just gather together and you can pray and you can ask the Holy Spirit, Lord... Holy Spirit of God, I don't understand this passage. Something I like that my wife does, and I don't mean to bring her out in this, and she asked me not to, but I'm doing it today anyway. Many will read the Bible and see how much they can read all at once, right? And that's okay, that's fine. You want to do that? Great. What she likes to do is take a portion of Scripture, and she will not move forward until she understands what she just read. And that may take a week. Sometimes more. And she'll read it and reread it and reread it and reread it, and she'll ask the Holy Spirit, I'm not getting it. And He will reveal it eventually to her. And boy, she can preach some sermons at me in the morning. I'm just teasing. So He brings that. He also speaks. John chapter 16 and verse 13. For He shall not speak of whom? Of Himself. You know, we're going to get into this a little later in our study, but a lot of these folks, remember we talked about how that the Holy Spirit of God got minimized sometimes in the Baptist churches because we didn't want to be like some of these other groups that all they talk about is the Holy Spirit. And when they do and they talk about different things that accompany the Holy Spirit and some activities that go along with that, those activities that take place mostly draw attention to the wrong person. The Holy Spirit Himself will tell you right here in the Word of God that anything that He does and the work that He does is not to draw attention to Himself, but is to draw attention to Christ. Amen? Because God, the Father, said that He was going to lift up Christ. And if Christ be lifted up, He will draw all men unto Him. Amen? So anytime you find that out of whack, you'll know that something is going on that shouldn't be going on. When it's drawing attention to speaking in tongues, when it's drawing attention, same thing, even in our churches, if we've got somebody that's singing special music and they're loving the attention, you say, Brother Dan, does that happen? Oh, yes. Yes. I had a gal ask me one time in ministry, I can't wait till we start singing special music because I love for people to see me sing. And I'm like, well, hallelujah. Amen. We're never singing special music here. Right? So, I mean, that's part of humanity. It's part of humanity. But when we're drawing attention to the wrong, everything that we do here in just a few moments when we step into that auditorium, every hymn that's sung, every hymn that's played for the instrumentalist, everything that's done, it is to give honor and glory to God and to God alone. Amen. We are to lift up Christ. Everything that we do musically, in case anybody was wondering, it is to prepare hearts for the very special moment that we get of hearing the Word of God preached. That's key. The music is not key. We can take it or leave it. I can be replaced. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We don't need music. You say, well, music does a lot of things. Yes, it does. It's a great tool. But it's to prepare hearts to receive God's spoken word. Amen. That's what it's for. So we keep things into perspective. He speaks. He told Philip to witness to a lost man in Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. When then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. Now today, the way he speaks is he impresses upon our heart. It's like a sixth sense. And you just feel the need to say something. And you do it. And it works. And he speaks. He told Peter to go preach to the gospel to a Gentile centurion at his house. In Acts chapter 10, verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. In 19 of chapter 10 of Acts. He told the church at Antioch to send out Paul and Barnabas as missionaries in Acts 13, 2, when he said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They weren't just sitting around saying, man, these guys are doing a great job. I think we need to send them to be missionaries. No, the Holy Spirit got a hold of them and said, hey, these guys need to go. Okay? He told the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 of their good works and also of their sins. We have those references. In verse 7 of chapter 2, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And if you're reading and studying Revelation, you'll hear that statement said often, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He leads in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's a wonderful confidence booster to know that you're part of the family of God is when the Holy Spirit of God will lead you. I love it when that happens. He sends and is sent. John 14:26, the Holy Ghost whom the Father will send in my name. Isaiah 48, verse 16 says, from the time that it was, there I am, God the Son. And now the Lord God, that is the Father, and His Spirit, God the Spirit, hath sent me, God the Son says that. He also comforts, John 14:26 and John 16:7, the Comforter which is the Holy Ghost. He convicts, John 16:8, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He restrains sin. This is a big one. Genesis 6:3, Isaiah 59:19, and 2 Thessalonians 2:7. I'll read those. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, He says in Genesis. So the Spirit strives with man, and the Spirit restrains sin. Did you know the only reason that the United States has seen the blessings that we've seen in the past is because of the restriction of the Holy Spirit on the wickedness of this world? And do you know, according to Revelation, there's going to come a day when God the Father is going to tell the Holy Spirit, all right, let it go. And He's going to lift His hand. People accuse God of being the one to create evil or to allow evil to happen in the world. But no, the truth is, God has had His hand of blessing and protection, and the Holy Spirit of God has restrained wickedness so much that sometimes when they insist, I want nothing to do with God, God says, are you sure about that? And He says, and they say, yeah, I don't want anything to do with God. Okay, He lifts His hand of protection and blessing off someone's life, and watch what happens. He does that with nations, and watch what happens. It is He that keeps us and restrains wickedness. Wow, Romans 8, I gotta get done here. I got a couple minutes. Romans 8:26, He prays. The Bible says in 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm glad we have the Holy Spirit on our side. There are so many times in our life when things happen and it is so overwhelming and you don't know exactly even what to say. And the Holy Spirit says, don't worry about it, I got this. And He takes your heart's prayer and He verbalizes it to God, the Father. They know what's going on. When I say they, God Almighty in three persons. Amen? He commands, Acts 8:29, He commanded an evangelist. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself. He commanded a mission team in Acts 16:7, when He said, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. He also calls in Acts 13:2, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And then He searches out the deep truths of God in 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Wow. I'm going to stop right here. We've got more to go. But the question I have for us this morning is this. Aren't you glad you have all that right here? Wherever you go, we are permanently indwelled with what we talked about this morning and so much more, as we're going to find out. You know what happens as you study the Holy Spirit? You want to kick yourself for saying, I could have had a V8. Why have I not been availing myself of all that has been there for me? All I had to do is acknowledge it and submit. Heavenly Father, please help us not just to learn about what we have, but to take what we have in you by way of the Holy Spirit and to allow it to change our lives. Lord, may we not live where we have lived for so many years. May we live above that. Thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you very much. We'll see you in just a few moments.